Hi, everyone. Welcome to Superhost Unveiled. I love this episode with Jessica from Nerdy Retreats. She's just so fun and has a great head on her shoulders. I think you're going to enjoy the episode. So without hesitation, let's get right to it.
Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord.
Okay. All right. Welcome everyone to another episode of Superhost Unveiled. Today, I have the pleasure of talking to Jessica Hooper of Nerdy Retreats. And I just love that name. And I think that's what drew me to you on Instagram. How are you doing this morning, Jess?
I'm good. It's just a little chilly willies now. We're getting into fall, fake winter in the South. So it's interesting.
All right. We can compare temperatures if you want, because I'm looking out at frost. It was a fire going. It's probably 37 degrees up here in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. Not even that. Yeah, it's not even that warm. So I don't really want to hear it. Okay.
I wish we would just like kind of have a real fall and then ease into it and I'd be okay. We just keep jumping back and forth to like warm weather, and that's what's throwing me off. So
yeah, okay, it's 30 degrees here. Okay.
But I like that. I just don't like being teased.
Yeah, I hear you. And you're in Atlanta, right?
I am. Okay. I am on the west side of Atlanta, and I used to live on the east side. So yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let's get started. If you would just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background and kind of how you got started in this business.
Yeah. So no surprise, an Atlanta transplant. It's very rare you find people who are from here. I'm a South Carolina native. I went to school in the upstate of South Carolina and studied English creative writing. You know, what are you going to do with that degree? Well, mom, here's what I'm doing. So I played volleyball there. And I mean, social media was getting big when I was in college. It's like Facebook came out and Instagram was a little bit on its way, even though that makes me seem old. And I just always loved hospitality and tourism. I thought I would do wedding planning or event planning. And I quickly got a bridezilla and that really scared me.
Funny.
So like after graduation, I still didn't know really what I wanted to do. I had mostly done volleyball, coaching and things like that. And it was just kind of like I was lost. So I did an internship when my mom moved to South Georgia. I like commuted to the city and I worked for the Atlanta and Convention Visitors Bureau, which kind of shows off Atlanta tourist things like the zoo, Coca-Cola, you know, everything that when you come to Atlanta, you kind of do. So yeah, that's kind of about me.
So what year are we talking? Like what year was this happening? Is this...
I think in 2012, we moved down here. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So when does the, you know, tell our listeners a little bit about where your business is now, and then we'll go to the beginning.
Yeah. So I started Super Bowl, which was like the year of 2019. Everybody was just kind of talking like, hey, Super Bowl's coming. I think we're going to rent out our house on Airbnb. And I was like, are you sure about that? And, you know, it just kind of spitballed into this. I was like, I would like the extra money. I loved projects and having the extra money to do that or travel would be nice. So I had a coworker talk me into it. So 2019, I just was like, I'll just do it for Super Bowl. That will be it. I will call it a day. And honestly, it ended up turning into something I really loved. It was like, that was what I was missing as far as what I was doing in life, because I was working at a tech company as an office manager and handling social media and HR. And it was just not fulfilling, if that makes sense.
Completely.
So yeah, it just kind of turned into this thing. And like, you know, Nerdy Retreat used to be Nerdy East Side, and I rebranded because I knew we would eventually move, just because the market was too good not to give up a condo for our next home. So I just really love all things nerdy. To kind of explain that, like, I love Marvel, Harry Potter, Star Wars, Tim Burton, Pokemon, like anything 90s, you know. And I just wanted to embody my personality into this niche home for travelers to enjoy. And like, when you visit Atlanta on the east side, there, like, I lived in this quirky neighborhood that everybody comes, it's mostly hipsters, I will say that, but it's like you're coming into this bubble that it's like everybody is different. It's like you're living in the London days of grunge, but sometimes you get like people who are pretentious about their coffee. It was just like this quirky, blunt, and weird place to be. And I was like, I want to show my travelers that this is what it's like. So I came up with Nerdy Retreat.
I think it's really cool, a cool name. So, all right. So let's go back to the Super Bowl. So are you living with your parents at this point? Do you have your own place, or do you have a roommate? And where did you guys just leave, or how'd that all go down?
So my roommate is technically my dog.
Okay.
She's an old lady. But my mom lived in South Georgia, so I just packed up everything. I didn't have a storage unit, so all of my valuables or trinkets that I was like, hey, I don't want to get broken, I like locked them in my closet, and I gave travelers a luggage rack instead.
Yeah.
But it was basically a condo of 41 units. And it's like an old shoe factory with, you know, like exposed brick. You have bathroom and shower upstairs, and that's where you live. And then everything else is downstairs. But I like lucked out, because the person who booked with me actually did the same thing, and he was from LA and he worked for the NFL. So he gave me like so nice, so genuine. And I asked for tips and tricks, because I was like, hey, I want this experience to be awesome. What are you looking for? Let me cater to you and accommodate. And he just, you know, hit some bullets, and he's like, also, if you want to do this longer, you know, remove everything that you don't want to go missing. And I mean, I didn't have much. I was pretty minimal, and that's kind of what I did. And that space also to embody the quirky and eclectic, it's like all the artwork hanging was, I would tell people where you could buy it locally as well. So it was like, people who do art murals and stuff like that was all hanging throughout of the space. So it was nice to show people where you could get the same eclecticness and take it back home with you. So like a piece of Atlanta. So
yeah, that's very cool. All right. So you get, how long was the lead time when you had this, when your friend said you should do this and you said, okay, how many weeks, was it a month? Like, how long before this actually got booked?
So the day I launched the page, I had a booking within a couple hours. For the Super Bowl. Yeah. Everybody was like fighting tooth and nail. And I even had somebody message me saying, will you cancel them and I'll pay you more? And I was like, no, because I'm going to do the honorable thing. Like, let's have ethics and pathos here. Like, don't be a prick. Like, we'll get there.
Yeah.
But no, I had, I think, a couple weeks to get everything together. And okay. I the condo was next to a Target, thank goodness, because it was like Pac-Man. I was just running back and forth between Target.
Right.
And it was awesome. So how I wouldn't trade it.
Yeah, that's really cool. So how long was the stay? Like, was it, I don't know when people come in for Super Bowl. Do they come in like on a Thursday, or is it?
I think he ended up staying for a whole week.
Okay.
And I think after that, I would make my stays minimum anyways. So I think like the maximum you could stay at my place was 5 days anyways, but he did a week.
Okay, gotcha. And any clue like what the nightly rate was for the Super Bowl, and how did you even figure that out?
Oh gosh. I mean, I do know I was not seasoned in market and rental trends. So I know I lost money, but it was still like, I think I did over 400 or 500 a night. I'm pretty sure it was in a range, and it was more of like no reviews, no experience. Like I'm just setting myself up. Like I just wanted the lump sum. You know what I mean? I was like, let's see how it goes. So yeah.
I mean, but you know, 400 or 500 times five, I mean, times seven, that's, you know, 3,500. So
yeah,
not bad.
It's money I didn't have. Yeah. It's money I didn't have. So
probably not, you know, not, I guess realistic for, you know, a normal Atlanta stay nowadays without the Super Bowl, right?
No, my normal rate went down to, I was anywhere, depending on what would happen, anywhere. So the weekly rate was 99 to 105. And then weekends, I would do anywhere from 110 to 137, 145. It just really depended on what was happening in the city.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, and I would only rent out probably two or three times a month after that. So,
okay. Gotcha. So, all right. So you have this first stay. It went fine, I'm guessing, right? It went great. No problem. Oh,
it was more than that. It was phenomenal.
Awesome. So then you go, wow, I like doing this. And then, so now, and do you own the condo or were you renting?
I did. Okay. No. I did. I bought it in 2017. So yeah, I had it for a while.
Okay. So. And do you still have it or did you get rid of it or do you still live there?
No, we sold it in September. We were, you know, pandemic. We were tired of hearing neighbors because we both work from home, and it was just to the point, like, you know how HOAs are, like full transparency. I never got truly caught. The people down the hallway got caught doing it. So it kind of scared me. We weren't supposed to have short-term rentals in the bylaws, even though they were a little gray area.
Yeah.
And there were some other things that had been happening with the HOA that I was like, I think we should look at the market and I think we should expand. And by then I had already had other properties with this Atlanta Airbnb. So it's like the void was filled. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And then like to kind of piggyback and keep going, like the job I had at the tech company, I was getting so burnt out. And before the pandemic, they did a mass layoff. So during the pandemic, I did rent it out just to have those funds before I got into Atlanta Airbnbs, just because it was like, you got to pay your mortgage, man. So,
yeah. So when did when did it go off in your mind to now? All right. So fast forward to now. I think I just looked at your Airbnb this morning and it says you have 12 listings on Airbnb. So when did like the light bulb go off about, and maybe explain to the listeners, like, how did that happen? Like, how did you get from, you know, off and on renting your condo, to like, how'd you get the next one? Like that first property that you managed for someone else, how did that all come about?
So kind of the same way you found me, Instagram. There was a girl who followed me, and she worked for this company called Atlanta Airbnbs, and she posted, "We're hiring." And I was like, ooh, this could be it. I was like, you know, I should just give it a go. Like, I kind of have experience. I'm good at other technical things. Like, I work in marketing and social media. So I think that was like spring or summer of this year. And she said during, her name is Talia. Sorry, let me back up. Talia Bunting of Atlanta Airbnbs. Due to the pandemic, a lot of clients had jumped ship and took it back over because, you know, the market was just, people were canceling, da da da. So she lost clients, and then she was adding so many back that she needed help. So I jumped on it. I interviewed, we hit it off. We think alike. We're very technical, detail oriented, organized. And that's kind of how it happened. Like now it was 7 properties and one is like a trifecta. The owner is still taking it over, but they're getting ready to move to New York. So we'll take that over again. We have a wait list. So that's been really fun because now with the brand, you can choose who you want to work with for your clientele, which has been really nice and a great experience for a business strategy, you know? So yeah.
I definitely want to dive into that because, but let me ask this first. So
yeah,
because I think it's really cool. Like you're not a, you know, you're not like, like a traditional person that I've talked to on it, honestly, not even paralleling my story. So what did this person, I forget her name, Talia?
Talia, yeah.
Talia, okay. So what did it say it was hiring for? Like, what was the headline?
It just kind of said like, hey, join our team. We have a few positions. And me being a super competitive person just shot my shot. I was like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I've done. I've been a super host. I don't host anymore. Just, you know, laid all my cards on the table and then come to find out they were hiring a guest experience manager, but she saw that I was, I guess, overqualified is the word. And I've taken on so many more responsibilities and I'm kind of her right hand. Like we just shoot stuff back and forth for ideas. Like right now, you know, it's the last quarter. So for example, we're getting ready to work on our 2022 strategy and just try to figure out our funnel with what's going to happen with what direction we want to go.
Gotcha. That's really interesting. And I you know, what I like is, you know, you just went for it. You know, you knew you weren't happy in your current job and you just went for it. And I think there's probably a lot of people that saw that and didn't do anything about it, maybe because of insecurity or whatever. I understand that part of it too, but I think it shows a lot about your character and your, you know, your tenacity. So congratulations.
Thanks.
Okay. So now let's go back to the other thing you just said, which was we have a wait list. So, well, let's, before we go to the wait list thing, cause don't let me forget about that because I think that's interesting to me. So how is the structure? Like what are you doing? Like what are you and Talia doing for these clients? Is it full property management and all the guest relations, I'm guessing it looks like, and all that stuff? Like for me, I'm a vacation rental manager. I sometimes have, you know, next Tuesday I'm meeting my plumber at a new client's house because she wants a new hot water tank. Like, are you doing stuff like that or does that fall on the owner?
It depends on the client. We're trying. So we've set up like a process, especially with the new people we're onboarding and when we launch, but we're trying to make it as easy as us on like our teammates as possible. So for instance, like we will ask them, do you want us to do your HVAC maintenance or would you like to do it? And we keep them accountable for it. Like being super organized, I'm like, hey, did you change your filter this month? Like it might be nagging, but I want to make sure you did it because I don't want it expect that guest experience. Yeah. But basically we're kind of doing D all the above. Like some clients are only cleaning clients because we feel that that's a consistent revenue with cleans. So we have a hospitality manager or hospitality team and a manager who oversees cleaning for Airbnbs. We don't manage their communications, but then the 7 properties that you see, we do everything. So.
Okay. Got you. Interesting. So talk about the team a little bit, cause you've mentioned that a few times. So describe the team to us, I guess.
Yeah. I, you know, going back to collegiate years, I always wanted to feel like a team. Cool. I'm a manager, but it's just a title. So yeah, I'll always say partnerships, collabs, teams. But yeah, so basically right now it's Talia, me, and then the hospitality team has grown a little bit. So I would say there's probably about 5 of them. And we're trying to transition one of them named Andre. He does guest communications for one listing, and I am overseeing that right now, but he manages like two Airbnbs on his own, but we're trying to mold him on how to be the five star. Because we do know, like, I'm not trying to like stab or anything like that, but we do know that his ratings are a little bit lower, and we want him to be, if you will, like the creme de creme of Airbnb, like have that, like, not luxury is the word, but that hospitable, it's a home, not a house kind of feel.
Yeah, no, I get it. And then there's someone you said in charge of the cleaning team.
Yes. And his name is Brandon, and he's on vacation right now. But he oversees all these cleans after getting the schedule, and he makes sure nothing, like the ball's not dropped. He reports any damages to me or Talia, and we submit all that. And we just make sure the flips are ready to go. And then if any inventory is low, we get that ready to go as well. So, you know, because I always want to make sure everything is fully stocked, especially right now with the holidays approaching.
Yeah, gotcha. And then the cleaners, are they on salary, like a payroll? Do you pay them an hourly rate? Are they contracted out? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so Brandon is salary since he's the manager, and then the other ones are hourly because some don't work weekends, some do. Like, they're a little, some of them treat it like a part-time job and just want the extra funds. So that's kind of how we work with them. And we make sure that we pay above the minimum wage. That's huge with the company. And we also give proceeds back to local organizations within Atlanta as well.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So Let's talk about you said there's a funnel, a wait list, right?
Yeah.
So why is there a wait list? Like, because you're just controlling growth, or?
That's a part of it. Also, like, you know, we don't want to be like a Starbucks. You don't want to like grow and not make sure you're taking care of your other properties. Like, we need to add a little bit more staff, but B, we kind of have a comfy position where we can be picky about the clients we want to work with. And I think we're starting to see where not every host can host. And it's like, if you're not willing to spend the extra funds to accommodate these guests, it's kind of like, we don't want to work with you when you don't want to treat a guest like a part of the community in a way, like for this experience. Don't do hand-me-down sheets, you know, stuff like that, or stains on sheets. It's more like, we want, it's kind of like reversing the question, would you stay there as the owner kind of thing? Like, would you want to sleep in that? Would you want to do it? And it's, we're getting some clients who are like, oh, I won't do that. And we're like, well, you should, if you want to be above and beyond and stand out from a growing company like Airbnb. Like, if you Google Airbnbs in Atlanta, you need to do these things. You need to have these amenities. You need to have these extras. So that's kind of, it's kind of a little bit of everything, like still getting bearings, just because it's like training people, and you don't want to drop the ball and it affects your guests, because you never want them to feel that as well. So.
Oh, 100%. We learned, you know, at the beginning, I think when we started, we took anybody because we needed money, you know, and we needed to grow. But then, you know, I listened to enough podcasts and read enough blogs to realize, like, you need to get a handle on that really quickly, because you don't want to work with the person you just described. You know, you want them to understand what we're trying to do, which is create great memories for families. You know, that's what we're trying to do up here. And you can't do that on hand-me-down sheets. And, you know, I will say most of our owners are extremely on board, you know, which is great. But we've had to fire some, you know, and they get really mad about that.
But I think, like, those are great stepping stones of, like, I mean, you do kind of remember all the bad, but it's like you learn from it. And I think that's what a business does. You have growth to go on, you know, so it's always part of the experience.
Absolutely. So you talked to, you know, I one of the things I love about Nerdy Retreats is your photos and your dialogue. Just, it makes, I think, as a visitor, I would pick you guys to stay with, because it just makes you feel like you're traveling truly like a local, you know. I think that's how you drew me in to Nerdy Retreats, is that I was like, wow, they really make the experience feel like a local, which is what I think most people want when they travel in an Airbnb, and probably like the ability to cook and all that stuff. And so that seems really important to you. So with that said, and with the fact that you want to grow very strategically, have you guys talked about a number, or is it, you know, you talked at, you mentioned before, like we're planning for next year. Like, mm-hmm. What's the plan? Do you want to be at a certain number at the end of 2022? Or is it not so much the number, you just, like, how's that work?
I mean, numbers are always great, but in the end, it still comes down to keeping our clients happy and making sure they're making money and, you know, like we're taking care of their properties. And then two, it's still all about the guest and the experience. I think the end goal is always brand loyalty, meaning like lately we've been having some repeat guests, and I think that's a great nurturing like community and relationship, is to have these people who want to come stay in our Airbnbs, and they're not even staying in the same Airbnb. They're jumping around and experiencing all these tiers that we offer, which is great. And I think eventually, like I've talked to Talia, I think when we have these repeat guests, I think, hey, if it's their third time for them being so loyal, why don't we give them a small discount on their stay? Like just showing, like extending the hand and being humble that they booked with us. And then another goal I think for 2022 is not also about that, but the relationships we've nurtured with mom-pa shops with that Explore ATL like a local. Like I would like to start working with a local roastery of coffee beans and offer those amenities into our like Airbnbs and just test them out, or like local beers would be great. Like I just think having some amenities like that would be the extra step to kind of stand out. So it's like numbers and money are always great, but I feel like during peak and stuff, you're always making that revenue and you're seeing the return on investment. But it's also like at the end of the day, it comes down to your clients. Are they happy because you're making them money and taking care of their properties? And are your guests having a phenomenal time? Are you being the Chick-fil-A and the Walt Disney of Airbnbs in a way? So
yeah, no, it's great. Great answer. I know. And I think you're spot on. You know, I think, you know, anytime you can give a local taste of the neighborhood, whether it's the local beer or the local coffee grinds, I think that's fantastic. All right. So one of your reviews states, and I'll quote it, "Amazing weekend. We were blown away by how cute and clean the space was, how helpful the hosts were, how friendly the neighbors were, how much there was to do." And then it says both the location and the surrounding areas, "We totally could have stayed there all day. Sleep was great, yada, yada." But then the next one says, "Jesse was an amazing, by far the best host that I've ever experienced. She was very kind and responded fast. I felt safe at the location and it was beautiful. The pictures don't do it justice." So, and it goes on, "I would give a 10 out of 10. It was super clean and everything was, you know, it sounded like just a way over the top visit for this guest." So hospitality, I'm guessing, and you've mentioned it earlier, is a passion for you. Like, can you just kind of describe what that means?
Yeah. Sorry, joke aside, I am Southern, so you know Southern hospitality. But I think it's built upon several pillars. And I mean, I think, again, curating an experience for guests, you have these memories, kind of like I said, Chick-fil-A and Walt Disney. And then I think also the humbleness to serve. Sorry, my dog.
No, what's funny, what's funny is that I have my two dogs sitting right in front of me. There she goes. They heard your dog and they turned their face towards me. Like, who's that? But what's actually extra funny is that every single episode we have a dog bark on the podcast. So it was perfect.
I like that they're contributing.
No apologies necessary. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, I think humbleness to serve others. I think, again, it goes back to, if you think you're a good host, but you're lapsing in things, that's why you hire people like me and you. Like, we love to serve and put people before ourselves. So it's like the humility and the humbleness to do it. That goes to accommodating guests in any way, shape, or form. Somebody's birthday, all right, you better be writing a happy birthday card and having those personalized messages, or, you know, whatever your secret sauce is, you should be doing it. And then the line of communication, I mean, most of us have smart locks. We're not at a hotel checking people in. So before those personalized messages, and when somebody walks into a home, your line of communication should be personalized too. Like, if somebody does say, again, like, we're having a birthday or we're looking for this, cater to them. Don't have the cliche jargon. Talk about like, hey, we're so glad you chose us to book a stay in the A or the ATL. Like, have some fun jargon and humanize your listings. I think that's hella important. And then again, like, going back to this, make a house a home. Don't have a ghost in the shell. And I'm all for being a thrifter and saving money, because I do love DIY and stuff. Like, you can make things look beautiful, but stop being cheap. make it to where people want to touch and feel things. As soon as they open that door, they are wowed. They have everything at their fingertips. So I guess those are like the pillars to it. Secret sauce.
You're so right on, you know, and I think it's like, honestly, I think it's our job, as I would call us professionals, you know, to educate owners sometimes that, you know, they buy a property or they have a second home, or I don't know what it's like for you out in Atlanta, why these people have Airbnbs down there. But for us, you know, a lot of them are second home vacation ski houses, you know, and even though summer's busier up here than the winter, but, you know, they buy this beautiful home and they love it and they're passionate about it, but sometimes they don't realize, you know, how important the little things are, you know, from the comfort of the mattress to the quality of the sheets, to having four pillows on a bed, you know, whatever, you know, and all the little things that go into a great home, you know. And I totally agree. It has to feel like a home away from home for the traveler, right? So you're spot on. So you talked a little bit in there about, and I agree with you, about, you know, communication. And obviously, to become a super host, you know, communication and the quickness of it all, is part of, you know, one of the criteria. So, excuse me. So how do you handle it? Like, is there one person in charge? Do you use any kind of software to help you with that? Or are you just strict? And are you strictly on Airbnb only, or do you do Vrbo?
So right now we are facing some problems with our larger listings. And I hate to say it because it's an ageism thing, but kids just want to party. And I'm like, please don't do that. So right now we have our larger listings. We are testing one of them on VRBO. In all like honesty, VRBO, as a consumer, I didn't have a great experience. It kind of gave me the creeps, but it's also like, I've never tested it as a client. So it's like, we're slowly testing one of those to see, but we're going to just play around and kind of see if we can get like the weekdays book, because weekends, no problems. Weekdays, we need a little bit more occupancy. We strive to about 80% per month. And then, I mean, as far as software right now, I think since we're still getting acclimated with our growth, we want to keep it strictly Airbnb and that platform. I'm very hands-on. So like every morning I'm going in there and tweaking the calendars for market and rental trends, which I found some software isn't very good at that, because it's like, they don't know again, the explore like a local. They don't know what's really happening sometimes, except for the larger events. So I still get a little bit nervous about tweaking calendars and stuff with that. But I'm going in there daily, tweaking stuff like that. I'm sometimes every quarter changing photos around to make it look new. What else? I mean, I am a huge detail-oriented person. So I have certain lists that are available to all of our teammates, like at their fingertips. I mean, Google Docs, Airtable, like that's kind of about what we're using. And then for messaging, I keep on Airbnb just because I like the breadcrumbs, because like, not to sound like a lawyer, but if anything goes wrong, they have those documentations to kind of go back on everything. And then of course, if I have to get on the phone and talk to a guest, that's completely okay. But I kind of just like to keep it simple for now.
Yeah, all good. So no outside software other than Google Docs and Airtable. And honestly, I don't know what Airtable is. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, it's just a fancier Google Doc. It's just fancier. I mean, I used it for social media marketing, and it's just a little bit easier once you get the hang of it. It's just fancier.
Okay, gotcha. So no pricing software, no communication software outside of Airbnb. So let me ask you this then. So I'm a guest, I'm coming in, I don't know what kind of coffee maker you are. I shoot that message to my host, which is you guys. Who is it, just you that would answer that question, or is there more than one person? And if there is, how do you handle double messaging?
So, sorry, my brain works like chess. So I'm already like, this problem wouldn't happen because I did it in our house manual, but no, that's not a perfect world. But no, it goes directly towards me. Or Talia, we kind of divide and conquer. Like I have some days off, she has some days off. So we just make sure we're not having burnout. So right now it's me and her doing all the messaging for guest relations. We troubleshoot. If we need to go run on site, we go. But Brandon and Andre also help if anything needs to be done on site, like kind of an emergency or anything like that as well.
That's awesome. Great. So, you know, one thing you just brought up is burnout a little bit, and we've talked about it on our show before because it's a real thing, right? So I think it's great that you guys, you know, acknowledge that, because as a, you know, as an owner of a business, I never have a day off, really. I mean, truly, you know, even though I have someone manage, that's not true. I shouldn't say that because I do kind of get the weekends off because my daughters work for me, and one daughter handles my weekend stuff and my other daughter handles all of the communication with the guests, but I still can't let it go. So it's my own fault. but yeah, burnout's a real thing. You want to just talk about that a little bit? I mean, what do you think is the main causes? Just, is it owner, guest, both?
I think sometimes the hardest part about this job is it's kind of a thankless job. You know, they don't, the guests don't see like the extra things you do and like how you go above and beyond. They don't see Brandon busting his butt to like make sure there's no dust bunnies in the corner. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I think that's the hardest part, is not having somebody say thank you for this experience. Thank you so much. So I think having healthy boundaries, like when somebody wants some time off or just needs to unplug, of course, go do that. Or somebody was like, hey, I'm having a bad day again, let me go unplug. Yeah, I got you, I'll cover you. I think it's just also like implementing the healthy boundaries. Like, unless it's an emergency, I'm not replying back to anybody after 10 p.m. With my phone. It can wait until the morning because it will still be there. Like if it's a booking, like I can reply to them in the morning. It's not die hard. Like I have to have healthy boundaries and like unplug from that as well. And also with me working in social media, my other job is for arts organization. And it's like, I have to unplug from all of that. Being on social all day and writing, it's like, no, you got to get out. I'll get some fresh air. And, you know, I think too, with it being thankless, it helps when you have teammates. I think them uplifting you, meaning I'm really good at people for some reason, even though sometimes I'm a grumpy old lady wearing my emotions on my sleeve. But it's also like, if my teammate is struggling, it is my job to pep him up. Like, I get I'm not responsible for his mood, but what can, again, the humbleness to serve, what can I do to help him or her? So yeah. I think that's kind of it.
No, I mean, I think that's spot on for sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're a nine-time super host, or am I confused with someone else?
No, it's me. And then my friend from the Peach State Pad, Ashley, is also, I believe. I think you're going to interview her.
Oh, wow. You guys are friends?
Yeah, we're friends.
No way. I interviewed Ashley yesterday morning.
Heck yes. I like it.
Well, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So how do you guys know each other?
Instagram. It was like when I was first getting started and I told her I had lost my job, I wanted to kind of do this a little bit more. Did she have any tips or tricks? Because she had hosted a few more than I have. And they were the first Airbnb Super Plus on one side of their bungalow. And I was just like, you know what? Airbnb started as a whole notion of community. I'm going to reach out and be that weird person to slide into her DMs. So I did. And she met me for coffee and we just talked about stuff. And like, it was just awesome to have a small business owner who wasn't like pretentious and like, I'm not going to tell you all my secrets. It was that sense of community that you look for when you need guidance. And we just remain friends. We talk. I host this little thing called Nerdy Neighborhood now on Instagram Live, and she was my first guest. And it was just phenomenal talking like you are. Like, this is a great community and like more seats at the table about our experiences. And I think more people need to do that and open their doors instead of, you know, have selfishness.
Totally agree. And she was a great interview. Too many people have a scarcity mindset, and really that's a mistake. Stephanie, who's usually my co-host, she couldn't come on. She can't do Wednesdays because that's her day off with her husband. And she's another property manager basically in my neighborhood. And we came together and now we're really close and friends, and, you know, we're collaborating on some stuff, and she manages her units. I manage mine, and we're it is what it is, but we have someone that we can talk to in this business. And I think back to burnout, I think that's really important. Sometimes you got to vent, sometimes you got to cry, sometimes you got to laugh. Sometimes you have a funny story to tell and you get no one to tell, obviously my family and my wife, but sometimes it's good to go outside of that. And does really anyone think like the city of Atlanta is so small that, Ashley's going to get all the properties and she's my enemy, that's ridiculous. So I think it's cool that you guys, I didn't know you guys were friends. Maybe I should.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Sorry to interrupt too. If all of my bookings, like I didn't have anything too, like the extending the hand, I would always send people Ashley's link as well. I was like, this is my good friend. She has something similar to us. I'm so sorry we're all booked, but try her out. It's a great experience. And I think that's also what people fail to do.
No, 100%. That's awesome. Yeah. Like I get requests for me to manage properties, and I don't have a funnel, but I have said no, but I've turned people to Stephanie, just because I was at a point where I wasn't willing to take on new properties at that time, So I think that's great. So back to becoming, a super host and a 9-time super host, what do you think the keys to being, if a listener is listening and they're just getting started, like what are the keys for them to, in your experience, to become a super host? Is that important? Does it really matter? All of the above.
I think it totally matters. I'm sure you have, because you're pretty seasoned and awesome too, but it's like the algorithm, like it helps for purposes like that. And a lot of people sometimes search for that super host because they want that top tier experience. And I mean, again, I'm super competitive. So my goal when I first started was like, I learned about super host and I was like, dude, I want my 5 stars. And then I was like, I really want my free keychain too, that Airbnb used to give out. So I think the key to being a super host is still humanizing the space and humanizing your listing. And I mean, it helped when I lived there, but I think it's going back to those pillars of hospitality, like go above and beyond and be that person. Like, well, I guess for me and you, be the person your dog thinks you are so you can get that, you know?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, absolutely. So in both of the reviews that I mentioned earlier, cleanliness was mentioned. And I think that's a story that it's telling because not every guest mentions cleanliness, but when they do, and I see it a lot, you know, because I go on Airbnb and I respond to every review. You know, I say, thank you for visiting with us. I'm so glad you had a great time. And if they didn't have a great time, then I respond in that in like, but you know, I like to tell them like, I heard you and I really appreciate you picking us to host you, some variation of that. And when I see cleanliness come up in my reviews from a guest, that's telling me a story, you know, that we're really clicking and we're doing a great job. So both of the reviews that I pulled out off your site mentioned cleanliness. So how do you, you know, I know you have a manager and all that stuff, but like, is there like a set of steps that you think are keys to that? Or do you, you know, how do you guys train new people? How did you get the system in place to deliver?
So we implemented kind of like flips list, kind of like each listing, we were kind of like writing notes, not just the listing page, like what it needs to be flipped to look back at, like the original listing. We just take notes of like the hospitality manager would take notes of like, hey, this gets dirtier quicker. Remind to always look at the coffee pot to make sure everything is clean, double check the dishwasher. And I think too, it goes to my role, meaning if anything does get missed, I'm the first to know about it. Like I'm the line of communication, meaning if my teammate fails, I fail, our company fails. So I always make sure to have pop-ins, meaning I hate to say it like this because I don't mean it in a rude way, but you know when a guest is the type of guest you're going to have next. You just know with that form of communication, are they going to not necessarily be difficult, but kind of what they're looking for. So I always do pop-ins, especially if it's a long-term guest. I want to make sure everything is good to go. And it's like sometimes the hospitality team has so many flips that day, I need to pitch in as well. I need to pull my weight. So with me having more a designer and meticulous mindset, I think it helps when I go while they're flipping and just kind of coach. And that's the beauty about everybody we hire. They are so coachable in the willingness to learn. And they also teach me things. And I think that's great with growth, but it's like teaching them, hey, fold the towels and triples when you're putting it on the towel rack for them, or roll it when you're putting it for the extra towels, like make it look pretty appeasing and like it was made for them. Like I don't really like to compare hotels because I feel like they're sterile and just not my cup of tea because they're corporate, but at least their cleaning team has everything down to a niche. When you walk in, everything's on the thirds. Your eye is caught by all of these little meticulous decor, and it's showing the cleaners, you have to have attention to detail to this because that makes a 5-star stay. So yeah.
No, that's great. That was a great answer. I'm trying to, yeah, you know, like you're right. Like one of the things, we were taking pictures yesterday. We got this massive listing and we're excited about it. I was taking a picture in a bedroom. My wife was with me and she's like, wait a minute. And she literally like took the Kleenex box and turned it like 90 degrees. And she's like, okay, good. And I'm like, really? But that's, you know, that's kind of what you're talking about, right? You're talking about just that little eye for detail means a lot because you need to, you know, you set expectations with the photos on the listing. And when the guest walks in, you hope that you'll exceed them, right? So good stuff. So what's what's important? Like, what is your, you know, what is your personal goals from all this? Like, do you hope to do this for the rest of your life? Do you hope that you, you know, what are your personal goals?
I mean, I love it. I mean, yeah, we vent and stuff, but at the end of the day, I just think it's so much fun. And like all the relationships I've met, made, like I had a guest who knew I loved Harry Potter. So she stitched, like 3 art pieces for me. And it's like, that's awesome.
Cool. Yeah. That's cool.
So it's like, I think my goal is, again, more repeat guests. I'm definitely sitting down to do my quarterly goals for next year, because I love goal setting and having smart, obtainable things. But in the end, I think I would really like to have my own Airbnb again. I miss doing quirky, eclectic things, and like, I'm looking for something in a very tiny niche. Like, this is going to sound so hippie because I love like camping and stuff, but I really want like an old school bus that's been renovated, or like a camper, like something retro. Or a tiny home. I don't know. I love tiny homes too. So I think I'm looking for something in that tiny niche. And I love decorating new themes, because I do see like a lot of times clients are like, that is out there. Are you sure I should do it? And I'm like, yes, 100%. You should do crazy colors because it's going to stand out from other listings. So it's one of those things. I think the goal is to have my own again. I just miss bringing something to life. And I think that's also just because I like having my hands in things a little bit. I like DIYing. I love building stuff. I got a circular saw during quarantine, and I started building barn doors, and you know, it started with that.
Awesome. So, yeah. Watch out world. Well, you know, the other thing, it's a great investment, right? You know, if you do it right, it generates really good returns. So it's a good way to invest in your retirement, you know? So,
yes.
I was going to say, so yesterday after Ashley, I interviewed someone else, and I don't know when I'm going to release that, because these are all kind of piling onto each other and we only release one a week, but her name was Chantel and she was from Canada, and she has her, you can look her up on Instagram, but she's Tiny Stays. So she has a tiny house that she totally redid. And then she has a camper that her and her dad refinished. So they have those two sites in a campground, where she talked to the owner of the campground and all that stuff and worked all that out. And she's not sure if she's going to do this or not, but she's going to convert a van into a, you know, everyone knows van life, right? Hashtag van life. So she's converting a van, but she's not sure if she's going to actually rent that out or just keep that all to herself. I have this feeling like she's going to end up renting it out, but yeah, it's a cool episode. So I haven't even edited it yet, but you'll have to listen to that one, because she talks a lot about the process of doing it and regulations and all that good stuff too. But yeah, it's pretty cool. All right. Well, that's cool. Is there anything, so if we're talking to a first, like someone on the fence, thinks they want to do this, but doesn't have anything going yet, like what, and any kind of advice you can give to that person that's maybe thinking about it?
Just do it. Rip that Band-Aid off. But don't be afraid to experiment. I mean, again, it goes back to failure is a part of the journey. You're going to build community. You're going to feel lost, but start kind of like we did, like start an Instagram, start having a following of people who do things that you do, and get ideas and be creative, like feed that, and let it be your outlet. It's definitely rewarding and fun, even though sometimes you fail.
Yeah.
And pay attention to trends. That also helps. Like I'll give an example with trends right now. Like people want something Instagrammable, and since you guys have mountains and stuff, we don't really have that except for art murals when people walk around. But it's like, we're going to go back and look at these houses, and in each room, not like each room, but like each listing, is there a room or somewhere we can have an Instagrammable moment? If people are like, Thanksgiving, I want a family portrait and I want it to look good. So that's stuff we're just touching base on. So it's like, you know, follow that and pay attention to the algorithm. Go be active. yeah, and then I guess the other part is like during this journey, I would say be kind. I hate to kind of throw this in there, but stop stealing from creatives. Me as a creative, I design and do a lot. And I noticed some people would follow and try to steal things. I'm like, you can make it your own without stealing stuff. Especially a lot of listings in Atlanta would do that to me and Ashley. And it's just like, dude, like you have to come up with your own ideas. Like don't plagiarize it. So
yeah. Good stuff. is there anything that we didn't discuss that you want to talk about before we go, as we're almost 30?
Go above and beyond. Make your house manuals, make a city guide. Kind of like you said with my Instagram, it is Explore ATL like a local, because I found out that niche needed to be told instead of tourist traps. And I think be different. Don't use words like luxury all the time. Like, why is it luxury? Like, do quirky names kind of like yours as well. Like, I love your name and like Nerdy Retreat. It's like, oh, what is this? Like, stand out from the crowd, quit using cliche jargon and like be creative, I guess is my thing.
Yeah, that's great. Now, yeah. If a listener wants to, and if you're listening, obviously you have someone in Jess that's definitely kind and friendly, and I'm sure she would, you know, talk to you over a DM or two. So is the best way for someone, if they want to learn more about you, to get in touch with you?
So I would say Instagram is probably the best bet. There you can have an email address, or you could DM me, or there is my profile for Airbnb where people can see the listings as well. So it's kind of like all of your resources are in one area.
Perfect. And I will include that in the show notes.
Okay.
All right, Jess, we're at an hour, believe it or not. That went by so fast, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you came on the show. I really appreciate it, sharing your time with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for listening, everyone, to another episode of Superhost Unveiled. We appreciate you listening. And if you enjoyed the episode, please don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. We're looking for more Superhosts to interview. So if you have interest in telling your story, we would love to have you on the show. Just reach out to us and we'll give you a quick phone call and chat about it.